the McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another rendition of the Viking Realm Ball Podcast. The podcast presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. A bit of a milestone today as we record episode number 80.
Wow.
Now, just to set the record straight, we're not big time like those egotistical kooks over on the SVC Sports Zone. They're right. Like 200.
Yeah, we don't. We didn't go live today from anywhere. Of course, we're on 80. We're not on 200 either.
Yeah.
Actually, we know we're way past that if you count all the other ones we did a long time ago. But
true. And we don't cover three sports seasons.
No, that's true. That's true.
So we're a little challenged.
Yes.
In more ways than one.
You and I have no desire to get together 30 times throughout the course of a year.
And they're not even in the same room. A lot of people don't even know it.
Yeah.
This is either they're highly technically advanced.
That's right.
We're not advanced and we're challenged.
Well, I think both those are pretty much clear.
Well, we're off to an accurate statistical podcast. Thanks for stopping in and getting caught up on everything that is Viking basketball alongside Coach Matt Coles. I'm Carl Knox. Production date, December 4th, 2017, as the Vikings officially got their season underway last Friday night, December the 1st, over at Zane Trace High School with the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic. Always a really, really nice event to kick off the season. Unfortunately, the Vikings don't come up on the winning end of that as you guys suffer a 62-51 loss to the hands of the Blue Carroll Bulldogs. A game that I think you'd agree, I mean, we're not at 100% in terms of all of our players. Nevin Yates still not dressing with that hand finger injury, and his brother Naylon, after suffering a ankle sprain in our foundation game, I think it's safe to say was not even close to being 100%. Your thoughts on the game, Coach?
Yeah, we ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw with that. I mean, obviously we've got things we're working through, but we're not gonna make excuses about it. But Bloom Carroll, we came out, started the game really well, jumped up on them early, and then basically once they got it going, we had a hard time with it. They had a couple really nice players. One of which we didn't
even know about.
Yeah, I mean, it hadn't played in a couple of the time scrimmages we were able to see, and I'm not sure why. It doesn't really matter, but they he had 25 points against us, and a very athletic kid, had a couple nice dunks. I mean, he was a difference maker, obviously.
Too.
Yeah, but we knew they were well coached. They do things well, but adding him in there and along with a couple other kids they already had that were nice players, they're a tough team, tough matchup. They can all shoot the three and really spread you out and take it to you. And we had a lot of a numerous amount of things that we didn't do well enough, but it was really the second quarter. I mean, that was the quarter in the game that swung everything. We actually, I thought, played a pretty good second half and kind of got back within striking distance a couple times, really. But it was that second quarter that really did us in.
Yeah, the first quarter you actually outscored the Bulldogs, and things looked good. I mean, with like a minute 30 to go in the first quarter, Bloom Carroll was kind of forced into calling a timeout to stop the momentum. You guys were really doing well, and then it's like in the second quarter, it just seemed like they started hitting threes. And they kind of, at that point in time, I think, really started dictating the tempo that they wanted to dictate, such that we're just a different team. And I think that I had saw P. Floyd, a lot of people from Southeast Ohio preps that know his write-ups, and he walked in the second half, and we're talking, and I'm like, you know, we both agree this is a different team this year. It's not a four guard offense. It's you know, there's bigs now, and it's a different pace, a different style, and I think in time, you know, we're going to be fine,
right?
But it. A lot of there's a learning curve there, and I think in addition to the injuries and getting healthy, I think you would agree with me that you guys got some things to work on, as you indicated in the last podcast. This is probably the first season since what, the 09, 010,
right around there, yeah,
the Jake Prater, Dylan Guthrie,
where we played two posts
exactly,
yeah.
And now we're playing three.
Well,
not necessarily all the time,
right? But we I mean. We talked about this, you know. We're still obviously going through some growing pains of trying to not only acclimate some of our first year guys, which all teams are going through right now early in the season, obviously, but also, you know, learning how to play and learning how to balance things. And we didn't have, you know, we went away the other night for a while from really getting inside. Second half, we did a better job of finding that balance and played a decent half of basketball. You know, you consider you're down 14 at the half. And you've got it to five. Most of the fourth quarter's right around a 5-point game, and you had your chance. We had our chances, but when you spend all that energy getting back in it, sometimes you can't get all the way back. So it is what it is. We've got a week of practice now. We've got to get into league play, and I know we'll talk about this, but we've got five league games coming up over the next couple weeks, and we've got to get better fast.
Scoring for Vinton County in the 62-51 loss to Bloom Carroll, Eli Griffith had 12. Nalen Yates with 11 for the Vikings, as did Jake Speakman. He also had 11 points. Bryce Dameron had 9 points, several of those coming on in the third quarter of that game. Cameron Hammond had 6, and Noah Waddell chipped in with 2 for the Vikings. A game that a lot of bench players, you were making several rotations throughout the second half there, just trying to get something going. And you did, about halfway through the third quarter, cut that lead to, I think, what, 4 or 5 points?
Well, it actually was early fourth. I mean, we got it to 10 at the end of the third, and then early fourth, within the first 2 minutes, we'd cut that in half. I think with about 6 minutes to go, we got it to 5.
Yeah.
And then it was 5 pretty much, you know, I remember looking up with about 2 minutes to go, and it was 5. And we just, you couldn't quite get over that hump.
Yeah, so 0-1, it's not the end of the world. It's it's happened before. I remember several years ago, I think it was the year that LB Ramey and Jordan Kidd were seniors. I forget who we played over at Zane Trace, but we
it was Logan Elm, and we told our kids the other night, we've lost, there's been many of our best years we've lost game one, and the reason's real simple. We don't schedule cupcakes on game one.
No.
We know when we go over there to Zane Trace, we're playing a good team, whether it was Bloom Carroll this year. We played Bloom Carroll a couple years ago there. Logan Elm, I remember years ago we played Chillicothe there 1 year. And when you're playing good teams in the first game of the year, there's always that risk that you come up short. And,
yep.
But we'd like to think that it's going to make us better going forward, and that's why we do it.
Well, you mentioned the TVC Ohio, and right out of the gate, you open up TVC Ohio play this coming Friday, December the 8th at Nelsonville. We thought we would, we haven't had him in for a couple years, bring in kind of the guru of TVC Ohio sports, Mr. Troy Boland. He's the sports director at WATH and WXDQ in Athens. He's also the editor and owner of TVC.com, which I highly recommend. Any Vinton County Viking basketball fan that wants to know what's going on in the entire league, next time you're looking through the internet, just go to TriValleyConference.com. I shouldn't say it's not TVC, it's TriValleyConference.com. And pretty much everything you need to know about TVC Ohio and TVC hockey basketball is there. So with that said, we'll take a little break and be back and talk to none other than Troy Boland as the Viking Roundball Podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand, McDonald's. I'm loving it. Alongside head varsity basketball coach Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox on episode number 80 of the Viking Rumble Podcast. And very excited. I haven't been this excited, coach, for, gosh,
hours?
Minutes. But at any rate, to bring our guest in. we couldn't, his entourage would not allow him to come from the mighty, mighty city of Athens, Ohio, home of the OU Bobcats, where some of the finest people in the world have graduated from. We couldn't get him to come out here in the boondocks, but we got him via the Viking Podcast Global Network. None other than Troy Bolin, the superstar, international, multimedia god. And also sports.
I didn't have a four-wheel drive, or I would have came out to your place. You guys live out in the ridges. I could have borrowed a friend's, I guess. But yeah. You know, getting to your guys' place clear out of nowhere, I probably would have had to have a four-wheel drive.
Yeah, all you little tree huggers over there in Athens, you like to drive those little compact cars, don't you?
Prius. I'm actually about two ridges over from you right now. If I had a four-wheel drive, I could probably get there. I'm at the Cornwell Farm in Albany, so a couple ridges, I'm just right over the hill from you.
Oh, okay, well, see, that's employment over here for even people like you. enough of our shenanigans here, Troy. We got business to get down to. I know you got a limited schedule, a limited amount of time, but the TVC Ohio, after last year, a lot of changes was what seems to be like every team. And obviously, we didn't go through all the individual scores with our listeners in the first segment, but the TVC Ohio in general did not fare well at all in the first weekend. Athens drops two games. Alexander led Southeastern most of the game and blew a lead, and Southeastern beats Alex in their first game. Of course, we talked about us losing versus Bloom Carroll. Wellston did get a win at Rock Hill. Meigs lost two last weekend at Jackson and hosting Southern. And then River Valley lost on last Friday night to Eastern. So things not going well early, but kind of interested to get your take on each and every single team, as well as just your thoughts on the total league this year.
Well, I can tell you that we pretty much took one on the chin the opening week of the season. Not the opening I expected. If you'd have told me Wellston and Nelsonville York would be at the top of our TVC Ohio standings after the first weekend, I would have told you were nuts. But those were the two teams that picked up wins. Everybody else lost. Not a very good start. It's even kind of funny on my girls' side, the TVC Hocking, the Miller and Wahama girls are at the top, above Waterford, Eastern, Belpre, and Southern. So my whole standings in the TVC right now is completely flip-flop. But it is opening weekend, and everybody can just kind of take a deep breath and let things play out. Wasn't so good for Athens, obviously. Went on the road and played a really good Gallipolis team, who has, I don't know, arguably maybe the best player in Division II. He'll be tough to beat for possible player of the year. Of course, I love your boy over there in Benton County, too. Hopefully he gets healthy soon. But love Dave for Gallipolis, a seven-footer that can shoot threes. He can dunk. He does everything. Great player. So we ran into that kind of buzzsaw Friday night, went up to Waterson, didn't have a very good showing there. Come back again tomorrow night, though. We get our arch-rival nemesis, the Warren Warriors. So hopefully Athens will fare better in that one.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is, you know, you talked about scheduling early. I mean, it sounds like Athens is scheduled pretty tough right here at the beginning of the season, playing those three non-league games right out of the gate. And, you know, just before we had you on, we were talking about how several years we've lost our first game of the season because we always tend to play over in that Zane Trace thing against some pretty good competition. So some of it, I think, is, you know, how teams schedule early. But the other thing, Troy, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It seems like all teams in this league lost some pretty good players. And, you know, and I think that most teams in this league have some depth. They have some guys back. But in terms of, like, leading scorers and real your number one or two options, it seems like a lot of teams graduated those. So you're getting some role guys. You're trying to get used to some new faces, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty good point. Me, I'm a guy that always expects a lot. I had high expectations. I know you lost Bartow, but you have so many good players back. Athens lost one guy. I felt like coming back
pretty
17
good,
and
pretty
5.
Good, pretty good one guy, but yeah.
It was a pretty good one guy, I'll give you that. But 17 and 5, you lose one guy, you feel like I have very high expectations for him. And it's two games in, so I don't want to freak out just yet. But there's definitely an adjustment period there. Over in Nelsonville, you lost Edwards and some other guys, and I don't think Wilburn's come out from football. He's just going to stick with lifting weights, so they're going to be shorthanded. Meg still has some guys. Their starting five still pretty good with Musser and Bear and Maddox, and I feel like you know, that loss to Southern was really surprising to me, to be honest with you. So I felt like there were actually a lot of good players coming back, but I think you might be right where it's going to take some time. I'm an impatient guy. I expect immediate results.
You and me,
I
you really and me both.
Like,
yeah, you and me both.
I felt like, wow, we got a lot of good players in this league. This league's going to be really good, and we still might. It could have been a little bit of both of playing good competition and, you know, getting used to what you're going to have on the floor. Athens, they got a lot of challenges ahead. I mean, I didn't realize how big of a loss that Griffin would be, but he dominated the ball so much. I went back and looked at my book. He was the leading rebounder, leading assist, leading scorer, and that's going to be really tough to replace. I was overlooking how important he was until I actually watched him on the floor, and I realize now that this is going to take a little bit more time than I expected.
Now, for Athens, who is running the point? Is Cozart pretty much their point guard now?
No, Salt's going to run the point.
Okay.
And then we got a transfer in from Georgia that's actually really, really quick, but he hasn't played organized ball in 2 years, only AAU, so he's taken some time to get used to organized basketball. But you can tell that his athleticism and skill set is just off the charts. Things you can't teach, but teaching him how to play Southeastern Ohio basketball, structured ball, is a different animal. But he'll come along as the season goes. Dalton stayed in the two-guard spot, so okay, they felt like he was probably comfortable there. And Saltzman does a good job. The little kid from Georgia does a good job. Elijah Williams is his name. But just coming together, and I think the biggest challenge for them anyways is they've got 11 guys, and that's a good problem to have, but it's also a challenge. How do you get guys comfortable and in a rhythm when you have so many substitutions? Trying to find that right combination, I think, is his biggest challenge right now. And I don't know, maybe Coach Coombs can attest to this, but how do you make your 11 guys be an advantage over the other team? And I think they're trying to figure that out. They don't have the top guy like they have with Griffin Lutz, but you have 11 guys, and I feel like their 7 through 11 or 7 through 10 will be better than most teams, but how do you make that an advantage throughout a game? And that's pretty tough to do.
Well, yeah, because you have to have, not only do that, you have to figure what their role is going to be, but they have to accept it. And you've got 10 or 11 guys wanting minutes, and that can be tough, you know, because everybody wants to play, everybody wants to shoot, but yet, you know, if you're playing 10 or 11 guys, everybody has to accept a role, and I think you're right. I mean, it can be an advantage, but it can also be a coach's nightmare sometimes when you're trying to juggle things, and because I've been, you know, we're in a little bit of the same boat. We've got guys that you know, we've got a little bit of depth, and you're trying to figure out how to use people, and you, like you mentioned, when you graduate, what seems like only one or two kids for some of these teams, but what happens is everybody's role changes. Now somebody else has to handle the ball 75% of the time. Somebody else has to take those shots. So even though the faces and the names might be the same, they're playing different roles. So I think that takes some adjustment.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I hope you're right, too. I hope it's something that can be worked out through time. Because, you know, first two showings, it didn't look so hot. But
Hey, Troy,
it is what it is.
Before we get you out of here, you've kind of covered Meigs, Athens, of course. Quickly, Wellston, River Valley, Alexander, what do you know about those three squads?
Well, I watched them at the preview. You know, I've always liked the big kid from Wellston, man. He's got a motor that just doesn't stop, and he gave us fits last year, and I really like him. He'll be a handful for some teams. River Valley lost a lot. Like their coach, though, he's got a lot of energy. He's kind of a fun guy. I talked to him for a while at the preview, and Meigs, I still think Meigs has a ton of talent, but I think they only go about 4 and 5 deep. They also lost a transfer to Eastern. That's going to hurt him a little bit, but you got to deal with Musser, who they say is 6'8". I don't know if he's 6'8". I haven't really stood next to him. They weren't at the preview for some reason, so I didn't really get a really good look at him, but I know Bear is a heck of a player. I know Maddox is a really good player, and if you put a 6'8 Musser in there, it tells me that they have more than what most people have. And I guess Nelsonville York, they got a kid named Ethan Boyer that's pretty good. And I was actually a little surprised at the drubbing that they put on Huntington the other day at the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic. So yeah, you have it. I mean, it's just going to be one of them things where you just said people graduated. We're going to have to get out to gyms and watch these teams over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And, of course, then we'll definitely have a better hand of what people have and how good teams are going to be.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. With Christmas coming up, you know, with Matt Combs' hideously big salary, maybe we'll just get you a four-wheel drive pickup truck so you can come
well,
visit.
You could just give us a win when you come to our place
no.
here in about, what, 3 or 4 weeks, I think? We play you late for some reason.
Well, the schedule must have rotated where we were playing first. I guess it flips now, you know, and it goes back. But, yeah, we don't see you guys until after the holidays.
Yeah, January 9th.
I like that. I wish they'd just keep that. I mean, we played Nelsonville York last on football, and I would love to see us Athens-Benton County be. Alexander will be our final game, but I would much rather it be Athens-Benton every year. I think that'd be kind of neat. I think it'd be good for the fans anyways.
Well, I'm telling you right now, Troy, and you can tell all the kids as well as Coach Kozar, you guys don't even need to think about playing us. Don't even practice that week.
Yes.
There are three games on our schedule, Warren, Vinton County, and Vinton County, that I circle as soon as I get my little schedule in the preview of the messenger. There's one, yeah. There's two, there's three.
I'm going to send a box of chocolates for every kid on the team to be eaten hours before the game. First of all, our coaching's pathetic this year. We got some good assistants, but the head coach guy, I'm telling you.
Carl does not hesitate to give bulletin board material to the other team so he can sit there on the front row and heckle me with his popcorn.
Well, I tell you, as bad as things have started, I'm still very much looking forward to the Division II tournament that we have, not only in Logan but Southeastern, and eventually to the combo, because I think by the time February and March rolls around, you're going to see one heck of a Division II tournament with Benton County, Fairfield Union, Fairland. Gallia, Unioto. I mean, there's a lot of good Division II.
It's loaded. Division II is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, I really, the Fairland going D2 this year, that, you know, normally when a team moves up, you know, it's not that big a deal. But when they've been to the Final Four last year and return everybody, yeah, I'm sure Coach would say, well, we're not even thinking about that now, but literally, you know, that sectional, just getting out of Logan for anyone this year is going to be a very, very tall task. So,
well, actually, I think Logan might not be as deep and competitive as years past, because everything I've been hearing out of Warren is this is the year, and if you're going to beat them to do it, Logan Elva looks to be very much resilient.
They're young.
So you're taking your two power players right off the rip. Unless Athens pulls it together, which I hope they do.
No, they might not.
We don't know. But
is Fairland in the Logan sectional or Southeastern?
Southeastern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Fairfield Union's really good.
Really good.
They're in the Logan sectional, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you got two heavy hitters in Benton and Fairfield Union. The rest we're going to watch take out. But on the other side, you got Unioto, Gallia, and Fairland. Big heavy hitters on that
and,
side.
And a dark horse in there, Zane Trace, too, because they're pretty good, too. Wait till you see
Zane Trace is two now?
Mostly sophomores, yeah, but they moved up.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. And, well, they get four out, so you'll have four come out of there and four will come out of Logan. But I think eventually when we whittle it down, I think that Final Four at the combo is going to be something to watch.
It should be good. Should be a good season. Look forward to seeing you in a gym somewhere in the coming weeks or months. And, again, thanks a lot for taking time out of your schedule, Troy. And we'll be in touch, okay?
All right, no problem. We'll see you soon.
All right, take care. Troy Bolin of TriValleyConference.com and also the sports director of WATH and WXTQ in Athens. We'll be back to preview the first TVC Ohio League game of the year, as well as a big non-league tilt coming up this Saturday, the 9th. Our home opener versus the Logan Chieftains. We'll talk about that as the podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Coach Combs, Carl Knox, episode number 80 of the Viking Realm Ball podcast. As we kind of get into TVC already, the second game of the season, and wow, league play starts pretty quickly this year, Coach, as you guys get ready, get actually 4 or 5 days to prepare to head to Nelsonville and play the Nelsonville York Buckeyes in the TVC Ohio TVC Ohio League opener. I know you had had a chance to go over to Huntington and,
Saint Trace.
Saturday and take a look at the Buckeyes and the Huntsmen and Nelsonville, pretty impressive in that game, weren't they?
Yeah, real impressive. Scored 79 points, won by about 34, I think, if I remember right. And, really got up and down the floor, had some guys that could score. You could tell that you know, their new coach had them fired up, and they were playing hard and playing fast. And it was an impressive outing for them. People talked about as a school, and I don't know how many guys played football or whatever, but people right. talked about how coming out of football, they've only had a week or so. Certainly didn't slow them down any. I mean, they were ready to roll, and they took it to Huntington, and here we are, having to turn around and go to their place right out of the gate. So very challenging first league game for us, and they're going to be excited over there, I'm sure, Friday night.
Now, the end of the Coach Jay Klein era is over. He stepped aside. The new coach is...
Coach Justice. He was at Amanda Clear Creek, I know, as an assistant there.
Mm-hmm.
And, does a nice job. Like I said, his kids played really, really hard on Saturday. And you can tell that, they're buying in. So, he's off to a good start. It's not like winning your first one. So, we're going to have to really be ready. We're going to, talk to our kids all week about them, and that's going to be our focus. We're really going to focus in on league play right now, and we talked about last week. We got a lot of league games over the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Five of our next six before Christmas. We've got six games before Christmas, five of them league games, and we need to really dive into that and prepare and be all in on those. So, that's what we got 4 days to get ready for Nelsonville right now.
Now, for our fans, this is a triple header this coming Friday?
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. Nelsonville does not have a freshman
okay.
game. They had to wait until football was over to know that for sure, I think.
Right.
And so we just found out recently. And then so we will start at 6 o'clock, JV start over there on Friday night.
Okay. So that one. And then I know you're not going to spend much time preparing for them just because, like you said, league comes first and you'll spend a lot of time working to get ready for Nelsonville coming up Friday. The 8th, but the 9th, coach was Chris Ryder and the Logan yep. Chieftains. Chris Ryder, I'm not going to mention names or places, but he now resides in MacArthur, Ohio.
Is that right?
With his new wife.
Well, yeah, I knew. I didn't know where they were living.
A wonderful part of town, actually. It's a place called Linwood. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, he's got one thing going for him.
They
based on the score that he put, the beat down that they put on Uniota last
yeah.
week at the U.
Well, he's got another thing going for him, which is a pretty nice team.
Yeah.
They got one of the best players in our district in Bo Myers, and they have basically their whole group of core guys back.
Yes.
And
they only lost one starter.
Very athletic. They lost, they lost one post basically. But I mean, all these kids are getting older and better. They took it to Uniota the other night a little bit, and the Landis kid's a good player, obviously at mm-hmm. probably 6'7" or so. And Coach Ryder's an excellent coach. I mean, people who don't know the history, he's won a lot of basketball games in his career.
What Columbus school was he at prior?
I can't remember, but he was over at Maysville too, and just won a lot of games. And when we played those guys last year, we had two pretty good battles over here and over there, and very tough to play against, very well coached, and like I said, very talented. I mean, you look at our schedule, they could be one of the most talented teams on our schedule. So we'll have to be ready for that when that time comes, which will be Saturday morning, because we're going to put all of our focus right now on this league game Friday night. We need to put most of our focus on the Vinton County Vikings, because there's obviously it was pretty obvious watching us the other day, we got a lot we got to get better at. So hopefully I am glad that we don't play tomorrow night. I think we need this week to get better
and get healthy
and hopefully get healthy. Yeah.
And well, on that health thing, and I know you're not
right.
a certified trainer, I know you had mentioned that Saturday morning the kids came in and Naylon actually said to you this ankle felt better Saturday morning. Now I don't know if this where would you and the trainer set him? I mean, is he going to just
I don't know. We'll get in there today, we'll take a look at it. It's really hard to tell. I mean, he really went for about 10 days and didn't really practice other than, just shooting around a little bit. And
right.
they were trying to keep him off of it, get the swelling out of it, and played the other night. And, I went back and forth as a coach if I even did the right thing playing him, because, I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want to set him back. You got a kid that's put heart and soul into our program now for 4 years. I felt like he deserved the opportunity,
sure.
If he thought he could play. And, I don't regret that part of it, because, You know, I owe him a lot more than he owes me over the last 4 years, what he's done for this program. But the thing of it is, I don't want to see him get hurt. And, you know, so it was kind of a back and forth a little bit, you know, trying to get him in and out in certain situations. I hope that, you know, that he can be 100% by Friday. He was moving around better on Saturday, like you said, and he's going to keep working hard at it. And that's what we're hoping for.
Now, the Logan game, that is, of course, a triple header.
Yeah.
5 o'clock, triple, Saturday 5 o'clock. Afternoon.
Yep.
That'll be and for those Viking fans or any fans wanting to come to that game, I would recommend you getting there pretty early if you want a good seat.
It's always
Logan
a big crowd.
Is going to be a very big. That's turned into a nice non-league. I don't say rivalry, but you know, the proximity's close.
Yeah,
Logan's obviously a Division I, only D1 school in the Southeast District, and you know that'll be a nice atmosphere, home opening, and hopefully we'll come out on the good end of that one. But nonetheless, that is going to be a tough road for the Vikings to hoe.
No doubt about it. But you're right. I mean, it's a game that we will probably always play, or most of the time play. I don't know that it'll always be played twice a year like it is now, but yeah. I you know, hopefully it's a game that, you know, and I say this, and they're going to be really, really good this year and really, really good next year. But I still think it's a game we'll probably always try to keep. You know, I think, like you say, it's a half hour up the road for both schools, good crowds. And, you know, again, I told our guys this the other night, it sucks to lose, okay? And we could have, you know, scheduled somebody else on the first game of the year and said, oh, look at this. You know, we won, and we all feel good about it and pat each other on the back. But at the end of the day, you're trying to get better. So when you play Logan, when you play Bloom Carroll, you're going to get better. You know, obviously you want to win, and you're going to try to win. But either way, you're going to improve. And hopefully that pays off in our league. And as Troy was talking earlier, a very tough Division II sectional eventually. Yeah. Hopefully it pays off then too.
Well, and to that point, normally you are, even off the record, you're more very conservative, very, I don't want to say negative Nelly, but you're not one that boasts of yourself or your team. That's just not the way you roll. But you made a comment Saturday when we were talking, and you weren't down in the dumps, or it wasn't like you just, you know, lost the biggest game. You were like, yeah, I've done this long enough. And but the one thing that the point you made is that the one thing that you do passionately believe in is this group of kids is they're going to, if one, we get healthy and we need time, but we're going to get better. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, if you're going to get us early, because I think that you feel that this group of kids, just one, they're a good group of kids that are pretty, that listen, that are disciplined, and they want to get better. And it's kind of like that identity. You're going from a guard team, kind of a post presence team, and it's going to take some time, and it's going to, you know, take some good old fashioned, you know, challenges to do that. So
yeah, I mean, we have good kids. We have kids that their heart's in the right place. We don't have, you know, a lot of issues with selfishness and problems, you know, silliness like that that some coaches unfortunately out there have to deal with. I've been blessed not to have to deal with that. You mix those two things with enough talent, I think, to be good. We just have to get some things ironed out. You know, we have to all learn our roles, learn how we're going to play, learn how we're going to approach it. And, you know, we've had 18 practices. Today will be number 19 if you don't count the scrimmages. So even in a month to get ready, you don't have a ton of time to get ready. You got a lot you're trying to, in the preseason, you're trying to get in. So we're going to really use this week to get better and obviously prepare for Nelsonville, but also take care of ourselves and try to get better. And then hopefully, you know, there'll be a better product on the floor this weekend than there was last.
Yeah. Now, coming up here in the next, I don't know whether we'll do it the next episode or the episode after that. Obviously, we need to get, at minimum, Coach Carpenter to get in here and talk about the JV team. I think he's got 14 kids this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a pretty good freshman and JV group this year.
Get Coach Yates in here to talk about his freshman. And then, obviously, it's, you know, we usually do this during sweeps. So when we need to have high ratings, we would get you out and have Coach NJ Kite in.
Yeah, that'll really impress.
yeah. Did I sense just the tiniest bit of sarcasm?
Yes.
No,
I mean, I'm laying it on pretty thick.
So blew my windscreen right off the shock mount.
You know, you should. I'm laying it on thick. But
yeah. Well, I think the community needs and deserves to hear from the brains of the outfit. You know, just because the superstar is in here every week, you know, doesn't mean that we need to get the smart, good looking one.
Yeah. Yeah.
At any rate, appreciate you coming in. I know you got to get to practice.
Yeah, we got to get to work, but I enjoy it. So I appreciate you having me. We'll be back on next week.
I guess so, unless. Yeah, something bad happens.
Well, let's hope we're on next week.
For Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox, saying thanks for listening to the Viking Rumble Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.